Well, our choir reminded us earlier that there are two great commands in the Bible, to love God and to love your neighbor. And that's what we're looking at this season in our church's life. We are looking at a sermon series on how to be a good neighbor, how to love others well in our community. So if you've been with us the past few weeks, we've talked about different themes of generosity, how we can be generous, how we can continue to be invested in our community is what we will talk about today. And our scripture passage today for this sermon series on neighboring comes from the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. And it's a meal Jesus shares with his disciples at the very end of his life. And during the meal, he says this to them. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. For very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, well, it bears much fruit. For those who love their life will lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Well, I wanted to begin this morning by talking about two women from the 20th century. The first, Rachel Carson, was an ecologist and an author who had started to get disturbed by the use of chemical pesticides after World War II. And she was so convicted by what she had seen that she started writing essays about it. And eventually, these essays were compiled into her best-selling book, Silent Spring, in 1962. But tackling the chemical industry wasn't easy. You know, there was a lot of money wrapped up in keeping these products on the market. And where there's money, there's power, there's pushback. So people called her an alarmist. They accused her of engaging in emotionalism. It was a huge sacrifice to commit to this important work of caring for God's earth and trying to inspire us to do the same. It was a sacrifice. But Rachel was invested. The other woman I want to talk about is Madeline Dunham. She was born in Kansas in 1922, and she was a product of her time. She was a white woman in whom notions of race and racism were ingrained from a young age. So you can imagine the struggle in her family when Madeline's daughter grew up to marry a man who wasn't white. And together they conceived a child. Though she wasn't perfect, Madeline loved her daughter's son, even taking him to live with her for several years from the time the boy was 10 to 18. She raised him as her own, making the sacrifices necessary to ensure that he got all the care he needed. And it was a sacrifice, but Madeline was invested. So as David said, we've been in this sermon series on the art of good neighboring, where we look at what are the best qualities you would find in a neighbor. And I'm not just talking about qualities like they don't let their dog use your yard as a toilet, but I mean real deep qualities. And we know that one of the best qualities you can have in a neighbor is that that neighbor is invested. They plant seeds, they invest, they are committed to something beyond themselves. They're committed to something that will better the world around them. They don't just live for themselves or for their lifetime. They contribute to a legacy that will last long after they're gone. Which brings us back to the passage Pastor David just read for us. Jesus was nearing the end of his life, and he knew that sacrifice would be required of him, that sacrifice would be required of all his followers eventually, just for associating with him. But he wanted them not to shy away from this sacrifice. He wanted them to stay the course, stay invested, because this willingness to give up yourself is how God changes the world. And so Jesus told them, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, but those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. These are mysterious words, confusing words, words that seem to contradict each other. If something dies, it grows more. It multiplies. If someone loves their life, they lose their life. What you love, you lose, but what you hate, you keep. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, but those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Every time we stand out in our church's memorial garden, we say those same words of Jesus. We stand out in that patch of grass as the traffic on Airport Road goes buzzing by, and we stop and look at the ground where the dirt has been dug up. And we pour into the earth the ashes and fragments of someone who has died. And we say these same words of Jesus every time. We say them as we pour ashes belonging to a woman 78 years old. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. Or as we pour ashes belonging to a boy one day old. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In those moments, with the cars rushing by and the gnats tickling our skin, we try to trust Jesus and take him at his word. Maybe by being part of the body of Christ, we really do get to be part of the work God is doing in this world. Maybe our lives really do bear fruit, even beyond our death. But what's hard is when you don't get to see those results in your lifetime. And that's actually what fascinates me most about the stories of the two women we talked about at the beginning of this message. Because only 2 years after Silent Spring came out, Rachel Carson died at the age of 57. She didn't live to see her work bear fruit. She didn't live to see the U.S. government finally ban the use of DDT almost 10 years later. She had planted seeds, but she didn't get to see what happened next. And that grandmother who helped raise her grandson in the midst of conflict, she watched him grow up and try to break out of the structures that would hold people like him back. But before she could truly see her work bear fruit, she died. The day before her grandson was elected the first African-American president of the United States, Madeline Dunham died. The day before. She had helped raise him. She had planted seeds. But she didn't get to see what happened next. I think that's why Jesus uses an image like a grain of wheat falling into the earth. Because with a grain of wheat, we don't get to see what happens next. What happens next takes place under the earth, in the darkness of the soil. After all our efforts are over, what happens then is unseen. It's all up to God. We scatter seeds, we plant, we're even willing to die, but God brings the fruit. When I first started working at PUMC, we were celebrating our 20th anniversary, and the church gave out copies of our history book, which is kind of like our yearbook for the 2 decades of doing faith together. And part of the book featured a spread on what it was like to build this current building here on this lot. And I'll be honest, that was the kind of a feature in the book that I just wanted to skim because it was all about contract specifications and construction timelines and subcommittees and permits and apparently a report on whether the beloved endangered red-cockaded woodpecker lived here. But in the midst of all this info, I read two things that stood out to me. One was that the village required us to put up screen buffers around the perimeter of our property. And to do so, we saved 100 trees that were going to be cut down from the middle of the lot. We saved them, and we replanted them along the edges. And the book says, the trees required hand watering daily for several weeks to ensure their survival. The trees required hand watering, not automatic irrigation timers, but hand watering daily for several weeks. The other thing that stood out to me was that the church held a prayer vigil in anticipation of moving and having the first service in this new building. And the vigil was held on a Saturday afternoon, and it stretched into the night. It was from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. It was like an 8-hour workday of prayer with 39 members participating. So I think about that. I think about the people who sat in silence and prayed for those of us who would follow, all of us who would walk through these doors, the same doors that we all came through this morning. And I think about the people who drove over here every day, parked their car, dragged over the hose, and stood at the base of 100 different trees, letting the water saturate the soil as they thought about who else would be coming to this church and parking their cars in years to come. Maybe you didn't know that people would come through these doors needing someone to talk to about how to keep their marriage together, or needing counsel over what to do with a daughter who was in trouble. You didn't know that. All you were doing was watering the trees. And maybe when you sat for the prayer vigil, you didn't know who you were praying for the woman who would come to receive communion here for the first time in 30 years as she healed from the wounds of her childhood religion, or the man who would come up to our altar for prayer over his PTSD, or the teens trying to wait out their dad's deployment and just needing some place to hang out on a Sunday night. You couldn't have known what you were doing when you prayed for the people still to come. It's very possible that some of those tree waterers and vigil sitters didn't live long enough to see what God would do with their investment. But that's okay. Jesus promises it's not all up to us. Something much bigger is going on. God is the one who takes our humble efforts, our little pieces of grain, and brings the harvest. So today I say to you, keep the faith, be a good neighbor, stay invested, even if you can't see what happens next. Maybe one day your grandkid will be president. Or maybe you'll just build a church where more and more people come together to discover the big thing God is doing with their tiny seeds. Thanks be to God. Amen. In celebration of all that God does and grows through us, let's stand and join together in singing our final hymn, the Hymn of Promise.